Well, hello there, and this is the interview. This is the interview with my grandfather for my project. My name is Jordan Mayberry, and I am here with my grandfather,
Steve Mayberry.
And we're just going to be talking about some of the cultural differences between our time periods and just how we've grown up over the years so far, and we'll see where it goes from there. So, Gramps, what type of slang did you used to use back in your childhood?
Slang. Boy. First, let me just tell you that my memory is not very good. They say they're all in there, but the ability to find them and recall them is what's difficult. So I feel a little hampered. When we were driving earlier today, one of them came out that says, like, hang a right. So, hang, that was something that might be considered slang. The words that I got older, like cool and, groovy and things like that.
Did you use groovy a lot? Was that something you said?
Not very much, really and truly.
Is there any other, like, slang words that you might have used? No, just letting you know. Let's keep this semi PG-13 at least.
Yeah, I was never one to do much with cursing. That wasn't something I liked to hear or say. So that was never a big thing with me. I took offense with that. So maybe as we go along, some of those will pop up back into my memory, a recallable memory. As we talk, there were some racial slurs that were a lot more common then than they are now, thankfully.
Things such as the N-word, other things like that. Mm-hmm. Was that used commonly by white people?
It was fairly common. I grew up in Southeast Texas, which is very right on the Louisiana border, and very Southern, culture. And there was, blacks were still, prejudice was a normal thing back then. It wasn't even considered prejudice, unfortunately.
Were there still things such as Jim Crow laws still enacted, or were those, like, still practiced at all?
Refresh my memory on that.
Jim Crow laws were the things that sort of, they inhibited black people from being able to do many, many things, and they were very common in the South, and they were eventually repealed, and they're not in use anymore.
Yeah. Growing up, I remember there was still the big thing, like in Louisiana, of course, it was famous for being prejudicial. There were still, early on, blacks had their own different water fountains than whites,
So there's still a lot of segregation going on.
Yeah, a lot of segregation. A lot of segregation happened.
Did you yourself have any friends that were not white?
Not kids, not for, no, I would say no. Our town was pretty small. I lived outside of the town and the countryside a little bit. And my school was very, where I went to was that we had first grade through 12th grade all on one campus. My graduating class was 109 people. So it was a real, small area, and there wasn't a black person my whole lifetime of going to school in my school area. Now, in town, in the city of Orange, it went through a time where they did have a mixture of the races, And it went through a period where they were trying to integrate, you know, into the same schools, blacks and whites. And that was one of the early ones. It was in my lifetime when that started. And they had a lot of issues in trying to accomplish that, the bigger schools.
Now, I'd like people listening to keep in mind that really, so I'm 15, I was born in 03, so I'm very much, you are how old now?
I'm about to be 67.
What year born?
1952 was when I was born.
Wow.
A long time ago, I know. Ancient.
So the,
me and Moses were, you know.
Pretty tight, you'd say. So a lot of our slang is very different, such as, now, in my school district, we're not segregated or racist or anything, or to a very sharp point at all, but I'm still in a predominantly white cultured school just because of the surrounding area is very very wealthy, and it's run by a lot of older richer, wealthier white folk who kind of moved in. They built up, and then now the spots where I'm at is mainly older folk, and we have people. I think I have a couple of kids in my neighborhood. Not too many, but and some of our slang is a lot different. We used to, like, things such as yeet, neato, or. And other things like that. We've kept some, I believe that we've kept some of older slang that's just sort of transformed. Like, possibly things such as neato, for an instance, that yeah. sounds like.
Yeah, that was, we had that one, yeah.
That, like, we still have that. I use it from time to time. So it's not all too uncommon for us to use some older slang, but. It's transformed, and it can have different meanings, such as, like, did you ever use the term, like, throwing shade? Was that ever widely used?
Never heard of that one. Throwing
so
shade.
So I can probably guess that came up somewhat recently. So, I mean, moving on from the slang and things like that. We can move on to what was your most frequented restaurants, brands, other things like that, that you would have? Now, I know the answer to a very popular soft drink brand. I know that answer. Very popular.
You know that one, huh?
Yeah, that one's pretty, it's pretty obvious when, you know, it's the only thing that you ever have.
and my dad worked there for a while, see?
Yes, yeah, that does make sense.
If I could just kind of add, Lib, or speak freely a little bit about some of the differences that I see between my culture growing up and yours.
Yes.
Is that right to do
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that's good.
Like, you know, what went on with free time, and school is probably similar to what school is now. You know, you go, now I think you guys have a lot more demand of you than we did in school, work and so forth. I think the pace is faster for you, and what you're expected to grasp and move on with is probably more intense than what we had to do. We still had homework to do on a regular basis and stuff, but I think you guys had a higher workload. Now, after school activities, some of it's similar. Like if you participate in the school organization, it's like band and things, that's probably still very much the same. After that, though, you know, where, you know, the age of electronics didn't exist. You know, the first thing that was, you know, it was in my life, my early years when transistor radios were invented. You know, before that, it was a big box of a radio was something that was in your house. And then it became in your car. And that was it. There wasn't one to walk around with. So until later on. So things like video games and stuff like that, that you guys spend a lot of time doing, that did all those hours that you spend doing that, we had to spend those that free time doing something else to figure out something to do. So sometimes it was chores. I think we probably had maybe, not every kid, depending on how they lived, and they had chores outside, if they had animals or things like that or not to take care of. I did in my case. So I spent a lot of time doing chores. And one of the things my folks did as I got a little older and could do more physical work is they made every routine thing where they'd haul in dump loads of dirt or sawdust or sea hulls, shell hulls, things like that to use as fill on our property. So I leveled in my life growing up many dump loads, truck loads of dirt and things that you move, and they dump the truck out, then you get a wheelbarrow and a shovel and you move it around. Takes a lot of time to do that. That was my workout program. But we played, the kids would get together and make up games, whether it would wrestle, or maybe Cub Scouts was something I participated in for a while. So we had to fill in time where, if you think about it, how much time you might spend or young people spend on electronics things, we had to find other things to do with that time. And television wasn't much to look at during those early years.
Well, you talk about like wrestling and other things like that. How would you describe your relationship with your siblings? Like,
it was good. I mean, we fought with each other some, but it was good. We were far apart. My older sister is 5 years older, and my younger sister is 7 years younger. So it's a pretty big gap between us. But it was good overall.
If you to look at me and my siblings, what would you say the main difference between our interactions and how you would interact with your siblings are today?
That requires a little thought. My older sister would have your role as the oldest of the siblings. And she was probably in some ways similar to you. Now, she was a girl, not a boy, so there's a little difference in that. But she was bossy and tried to rule the roost over us some, as I've seen you try to do with your siblings some. A lot. But she would also have some, play with us some too. Of course, if I was 10, she was 17 or 15. Big difference in what a 15-year-old girl is interested in and a 10-year-old boy, So that makes a big, impact on, 15-year-old girl is just tolerating, the boy. She would make me, if we were going to go to town, she would make me lay down on the floorboard of the car so that her friends wouldn't see that she was running her brother around or had her younger brother with her, things like that. I had to hide. Sometimes she'd take me away. We'd get to go to a drive-in movie theater. Now, that was a fairly common thing. That's different now. Drive-in theaters, we had one, a drive-in theater was the main thing in my town growing up, so.
So, would you say that that's like a main hangout that you used to have?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, drive-in and the bowling alley.
The bowling alley?
Yeah.
Bowling. Were you winning good?
Okay, but you went there and to hang out, talk, goof off with your friends, maybe have a date, take to the bowling alley. It was a small town, there was one fast food restaurant. to drive around a hamburger joint, and everybody cruised the little strip, you know, and then we finally got two fast food places. There was a hot dog place and a McDonald's kind of place, and then the bowling alley and the drive-in. And that was it for entertainment.
So you had to make up a lot of your entertainment.
Yeah.
So what was like the popular like dressing styles back then? Like what was popular for the guys, first off? Something that you dressed in a lot.
Well, one thing that came up when we were there was called Dickies. Yeah, I know it's a little bit maybe they might throw you off. But it was kind of a thing for warmth and style, but it would pull over your head and imagine a sweater. It was kind of like a sweater consistency. Mm-hmm. It just had a flap in the front and a flap in the back and a collar. So it would stick up around under your chin, you know, somewhat. And then go under your shirt, basically. So you would put this on, then put your shirt over it, but you leave your shirt then unbuttoned a little bit. And they came in multicolors. They were around for a number of years, and it was kind of cool look, you know, and fashion statement, you know, at the time for the guys to wear some. Most of the time you're in jeans, you know, in a shirt, short sleeve shirt. Yeah. And that's pretty much was it. You just wore slacks, you know, were pretty real common for if you weren't going out on a date though, to church on Sunday, you'd have a pair of slacks and a little nicer shirt on. I think jeans are more common now for adults, for men. They're more common than they were then. Most of the time,
a huge thing for my generation is, so you have your more athletic kids, in my generation that are consistently in their Nike gear, their Adidas gear, mm-hmm. other big name corporations like that, and like their shorts, all that type of gear. Then you've got some of the others that dress differently, and then like people that I identify myself more as, I kind of have developed like going with blue jeans, a graphic tee most of the time, as I'm wearing right now. I'm wearing a Guns N' Roses t-shirt, among other things in that regard. And in your case, for women, what do you think was the most popular thing they would wear, like, to school and even out of school? What do you think was, like, popular for them to wear?
I think they were dressed maybe a little more dressy than nowadays.
More dressed to impress type?
Well, I think it's just the normal, what was available and the style at the times were dresses, you know, there wasn't any pants worn at school that I can recall. Slacks by the girls. So it was either dresses or skirts and tops, you know. And was the main thing. And, of course, they were all, you know, longer than a lot of times. You know, this was before mini skirts were created. We all, that was created in my, you know, came along my early days. Big stir, of course. Not allowed at schools, but they were so short. But what was the other thing that the thing with brands and stuff like that? Mm. That really wasn't even there. The tennis shoes were that everybody had the same kind of shoe. It was just a non-brand. It was like, the brand thing was like, did you get yours at Sears or at some other store? It wasn't a person's brand.
So it wasn't like, So you would say that brands don't carry, having certain brands don't carry the same weight as they would today.
Absolutely not. That didn't exist in my growing up.
That is a very big difference, because a lot of things today, the brands you wear really indicate, they can indicate wealth a lot of the times, because that's the stuff gets expensive very quick. And it indicates a lot of times popularity, especially among different types of cliques. You would see them and they'd be like, all right, yeah, hey, yeah, you know who these people are. Like, you have your smaller hierarchy to say something about that. More popular kids, a lot of the popular kids at my school, well, at least the people that a lot of people consider the more popular, they're the very athletic ones. A lot of the football players, soccer players, things, people like that, they're fairly physically fit, and they wear a lot of sports gear. It almost looks like the point that they're sponsored. It's really, it gets a little overboard in my opinion.
Yeah.
But.
See, now the popularity part was pretty much the same then as now, as far as the sports guys got more attention, than anybody else for the most part. Whether it's basketball or football, first football probably, and then basketball, a little bit other things, but it wasn't as big as it is now. Because one, and again, I don't know, I wasn't in a big school, it wasn't as intense probably as it was in some of the even bigger schools back then might have been, but even those guys back then. There wasn't the variety. It wasn't available to just differentiate between, well, I have a whole lot more, I have a certain style of clothes and nobody else does, or because they're so much more expensive or something. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't there, because people shopped at Sears and Wool, for their clothing, and a couple of other places, and that was it. There wasn't 18 different places to go like there is now.
Mm-hmm. So, going off to things such as school life, what would you say, I don't know if you'll be able to answer this very clearly, you may not be able to see, but what do you say the main difference between what your school life was and how you see some school life going on today?
I think that one of the big differences is in discipline. And I don't think it's good. I think, when I grew up, boys, if they got in trouble, they would get a SWAT. Either the coach or the principal. And then the principals were more males, but that I've saw. And I know there's a lot more female principals now, but a male, whether a principal or a coach, would bend you over and had a board that was he used to give swats with, and he would give you a big one or two big whacks for whatever you did wrong, which was normally something disrespectful that got you in trouble. Either you got in a fight, or you disobeyed flagrantly some teacher, what they told you to do, you get a SWAT. But the thing about it then was that happened, the discipline was over, and you move on. No, there was no stigma attached to it. No, it was like, dang, that hurt, and it made an impression upon you. It truly did. You really didn't want to do something that got you one of those very often, bullies, I didn't see a lot of much in bullying. And some of that was, I think, maybe the times were somehow different in some way. There was more general self-respect and mutual respect for each other. There were some fights, though. You know, people would get in, guys would get in fights with each other, but nobody was trying to kill each other. You know, nobody pulled a knife. Nobody, went just berserk. If they get mad, which is a natural thing, something between hot, young guys especially. They have a fisticuffs. It gets broke up, and then typically it's all over. I mean, that's the end of it. And those same two guys will still be cordial toward one another. After that, it's not like it creates some permanent divide. Like, well, I'm going to hate you, and you're going to hate me the rest of our lives. No, that didn't happen. We had a bad day, and we got in a fight with each other. But we're going to get over it and move on. Now, there's no physical discipline in schools. And I think that's a detriment, really. Now if two kids touch each other or hit each other, either the parents or the school call the police. And I think that's a real bad thing. I think that's an escalation of something that's fairly minor between young people. So I think that's unfortunate.
Would you say that our generation, my generation, is a lot more, in a way, weaker minded and more perceptual to a lot of violence and other things like that, more sensitive, to say the least, about a lot of this stuff?
Elaborate a little bit more on...
We've had a lot of... In recent years, we've had a lot of outbreaks with a lot of things such as the Antifa riots, the things such as that. It came a lot from the liberal standpoint on the political spectrum. A lot of it stemmed off of that and kind of moved out as they were fighting for different types of rights, being very progressive about a lot of things, and then what some people, us in the South especially, would consider being very butthurt, being a snowflake, trying to be special in ways that you shouldn't care about, that stems very off of the Republican side. Would you say that we're a lot more sensitive about issues politically and even socially and locally, even?
If I'm getting the gist right, I think there is there's an oversensitivity to some things, I'm not sure if I'm on the right track with you, but let me try this. But one, I think parents, there's parents who are overly sensitive. They overprotect their kids and don't help them be a little stronger and less tender or less...
They shelter them.
Yeah, and they step in to try to protect. The kid gets in trouble at school instead of, and maybe they legitimately are in trouble. They'll go and take the kid's side and fight with the teacher or fight with the principals and say, no, my kid, you're wrong. You're going against my kid, when you shouldn't. And I think. They don't let the child take responsibility for their actions and the repercussions of their actions. And when they're, somebody misbehaves and they're not allowed to suffer some consequences of that, one, they don't learn, and and I think it does make them, it skews their view of the what the royal world really is, and it makes them softer too. I think they become overly sensitive to, and they're offended too easily.
So, moving on to some more recent events. Well, recent events that I want to tie back to how you might have felt back in your school days. How often do you think things such as homosexuality came up?
It was a non-issue. It was hidden in my growing up years and school years. Very rare. I mean, it was only references to it were always ridicule. Somebody maybe making a mean remark about somebody else, or just if not maybe a particular person, but just in general, just if you wanted to, even in a kidding way, mess with one of your friends and say, "Well, you're homo," you know, kind of thing. It was obviously looked down upon, but in my growing up, it was just such a hidden thing that it was never discussed.
I find that a lot different than how I did it. A lot different.
Hugely
especially
different.
In these very recent years.
Absolutely.
And even within my own school, I see a lot of, well, I see, it pops up a lot more. And to me, I believe that has to do with people coming out of the closet a lot more. Like, they don't try to hide it as much.
Yeah.
And one of the big reasons that I really believe that it's popped up more is because it gets you attention. It really does, and my generation is, we seek out attention so much. It's a very big deal to all of us. That's another reason that such big name, it's the things that big name brands thrive on, is these richer, wealthier white folk, wealthier folk in general. They go out and they buy these expensive things because these certain brands mean that you've got this amount of popularity, you have this amount of stuff, you have X amount of this. It's
a status symbol.
Yeah. It's a symbol of your status, and it really, really encourages a social hierarchy that kind of solidifies over time, and it's, I don't find it a huge issue, but I find it that it contributes to our oversensitiveness about a lot of things, and it's, sometimes it does bother me, especially when people, my generation, a lot, born 03, a lot of us are 14, 15 right now, and you can say that you're homosexual a lot, or whatever you want to say, but to me, I believe that you shouldn't be able to decide that type of things at 14 or 15 years old. That's not really a time in your life where you can logically make something like that. So I believe a lot of it stems off of the social need to have attention that we've basically developed of ourselves. That the more attention you get, the better you are. The cooler you can feel about yourself. And other things like that. But so to you, in your days, how would you, in your own words, how would you say that homosexuality was viewed, like in general?
Oh, it was by the masses, it was viewed as a bad thing.
Like it was looked down upon.
Yeah, oh yes, very much so. It was looked down upon and not understood. I mean, there was no support for it, rarely, you know, so much so that it was rarely talked about. It was everybody, if you were a homosexual in those time frames, you knew that you needed to hide it, that it would be, things would go badly for you if you didn't, you know, either physically get hurt, or if you're older, you know, your work, or you know, ability to get a job and things like that, things would be tough. It was still that kind of environment. And I think, you know, rarely would somebody be bold enough to, you know, come out of the closet back then.
That's pretty powerful. I mean, it's not very surprising to me, to say the least, because I see a lot of that as a very social stigma back then, but these recent years we've had so many explosions with things such as social justice warriors, a lot more women's rights activists, for some different things, gender equality, sexual equality, other things like that, really pushing for these social norms to be broken and reinstated differently to accept more types of people. And while these pushes are good, I do believe that some of the ways that they're doing this is they're not the best way to go about a lot of the stuff that they do. And it puts off a lot of their causes that I believe can be very good, but if they just went about it a different way, it'd be taken so much more seriously and change would come about a lot sooner, a lot faster, and a lot more efficiently. That's just very different. Now, things such as childhood smoking, drinking, other things like that, popularity-wise, how do you think that was viewed?
I started smoking, you know, when I was probably 15, I would guess, if I remember about right. And we could smoke on campus at high school behind the gym. I had a designated smoking area for students. Now, can you imagine that today?
That would be very insane to me, to say the least.
Yeah.
Was there no legal age back then for smoking?
No, there was no restrictions at all.
There's no restrictions at all? Mm-mm. None?
No. Anybody who wanted to do
it. Why do you believe that's so? Like, as in, just because it was such a new product that they didn't understand, like, any health risks of it?
Yeah, this was before, originally, it was before there was any any, you know, requirement to label that cigarettes had a health risk at all. So, now, did, you know, probably people who manufactured cigarettes and some doctors probably believed that there was a health risk. But there was no public awareness of that.
None.
This is zero. It was cool. It was a huge percentage of the people. Not everybody by any means, but a lot of people smoked, and men and women both, but a lot of men did, and a lot of young men, and so.
Would you say that it was more common among men to take up smoking?
Yeah.
So it was a lot more common, it was a big thing for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like everybody did, but there was it's hard to say what percentage, but it was common. It was enough that it was common. It was not uncommon. So,
nobody was surprised. When did you actually stop smoking?
About 10 years ago.
10 years ago, so that's a long time.
Yeah, it's destroyed my lungs.
So, if you had any message about smoking to younger children or anyone in general, what would you really say about it now that you know a lot of the different things that the detrimental health issues it can cause?
You will really regret it. And I know how hard it is once you start smoking, and it doesn't take all that long before it truly is an addiction, both physically and emotionally. And it is incredibly hard to stop. I tried so many times over the years to just go cold turkey or wean myself off and a number of things. And then when the new AIDS came out, you know, with Nicorette gum and and patches and stuff. I used to joke, make a joke, say, yeah, I tried the patches, but they were really hard to light, you know? And none of that stuff would work for me. They just make a dent for a while. And I quit as much as a year, 6 months anyway, close, I can't remember exactly, once as an adult. And then just opened the glove box one day, and there's the cigarettes. I lit up, and I was right back, you know, one smoking, I'm about back in it. And I smoked pipe, I smoked cigarettes, smoked cigars, tried to, you know, thinking that they would make it less damaging. So finally what worked for me was the product called Chantix. That was a miracle drug for me. That's what helped me stop. Made it possible for me to get past.
Do you still use it today?
Oh, no. It was a temporary thing. You used for a period of a few months or so. And then, but it gave me enough, whatever the effect that it does in your body and mind, it made it possible that I was able to get off and then lose the urges and stuff to go on. So, it was great, and I would just say, don't just. I know people told me the same thing, so I know this falls on deaf ears for the most part. But now that what you suffer from later on, and I still, you know, will probably live, you know, if I'm lucky, another 15, 25 years. I could live that long. If I live that long, I'll have to carry around an oxygen bottle in order to move and do anything, because my lungs are so damaged. I don't have to do that yet, but the conditions you get deteriorate. They keep getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Once you get what's called COPD, it doesn't. There's no cure for it. And once you have it, you, like I did, I stopped smoking. So it's maybe not as advancing as fast as it otherwise would, but it still advances. It still gets worse.
Now we're just about out of time here, but shortly, how would you describe drinking alcohol in your day?
It was very prevalent
among adults and even younger children. Like, you know, younger children as in like teenagers aged 15 up, possibly.
I don't know if it's as probably not as prevalent then as it is now. And, you know, my impression, you know, I don't know, I have enough input to, you know, make any scientific, you know, percentages to it. But I think one of the differences is, I think a greater percentage of the public went to church, for one thing, back then. Overall, there was less total population in the world at that time, for one thing. And I think a greater percentage had some restriction in their, due to religious beliefs on their drinking, and that, like, you couldn't buy alcohol in a lot of places. You couldn't buy alcohol on the weekend, on Sundays, you know, things like that. You couldn't buy it at drugstores or grocery stores, I mean, back then. So there was a lot of things that kind of helped hold down the amount of alcohol. So I think there was probably less then than now. And it's also very dangerous. A lot of lives are ruined by it.
All right. I'd like to thank you for really conducting this interview with me, and we're just about out of time. And so I'd like to wrap this up. Once again, my name is Jordan Mayberry, and I'm only 15 right now, 03. And this is my awesome grandfather, Steve Mayberry. And he is, how old again?
67 in just a couple of months.
67 just a couple months. All right. From Steve and Jordan, this has been the cultural differences between age groups and generations gone by. I'd like to thank you for listening. I'd like to also just reinstate that any prejudice that you might hear during this interview, as you heard it, it all comes from a different generation that grew up in a different time period than us, and you need to understand that there are differences in social constructs, and you should not put it against us. And a lot, anything I have said, that is my own personal opinion. I'd like to thank you for listening. Have a good night.